Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, guys, welcome back to another Cryptoconomy Quick Read. I got a short one today that was posted just, I guess, 2 days ago now on April 22nd, and it's on unblock.net, and it's just about the, I mean, if anybody's been watching the charts, it's pretty clear, both Bitcoin and pretty much the entire market has turned pretty heavily bullish in the last 3 weeks or so, and the charts have, all the major resistance has been broken through. So now kind of everything's up in the air, and it looks like we're moving back to a growth period. So, and this one is titled Bullish Signal, The Return of the South Korean Kimchi Premium. And it's written by Priyeshu Garg. I'm not 100% sure how to say that, and I couldn't find it on pronounced names or anywhere, so I don't have much to go by. But I'll see if I can find them on Twitter to make sure to tag them in the post. But for now, let's go ahead and jump in. Again, this was Bullish Signal, The Return of the South Korean Kimchi Premium. The South Korean Bitcoin premium appears to have returned, signaling that the gains of the last 2 weeks might indeed be a crypto recovery phase. The price of Bitcoin on BitThumb, the largest cryptocurrency exchange platform in South Korea, is $9,016.96, which currently constitutes a premium of 1.1%. The emergence of the South Korean Bitcoin price premium most likely indicates an increase in local demand for Bitcoin in the country. This means that investor confidence has increased and more money is being put into the market. The absence of the South Korean Bitcoin price premium has been something of a misnomer for analysts during the recent Bitcoin price increase. Not just only Bitcoin, but other cryptos had been cheaper in the country than the rest of the world, which indicated a bear market run in the country, even when cryptos appeared to be recovering. Historically, crypto prices in South Korea have always been higher than in the rest of the world. The crypto price premiums range from as low as 5% to as high as 30%. The cryptocurrency supply in the country is quite low, as it depends largely on Chinese and Japanese miners for its crypto supply. The ban on foreign crypto traders also contributes in creating a crypto scarcity in South Korea. Hence, the price of cryptos in the country is always expected to exceed the global average. During the peak Bitcoin price period in mid-December 2017, the price of Bitcoin in South Korea was $25,000, while the rest of the world was still below $20,000. Back-to-back Bitcoin gains. For the first time in 2018, Bitcoin is experiencing back-to-back weekly gains. With the appearance of the South Korean crypto premium, investors might become optimistic about the market, triggering a consolidated bull run that could see crypto prices reach record levels. With the tax filing season over in the United States, a massive reduction in Bitcoin sell-offs is expected. Institutional investors in the market are also expected to increase in the second quarter of the year in the U.S. All of these happenings might justify the predictions that have been made concerning the market that prices will go up starting in the spring. American and Asian mainstream investors with deep pockets coming into the crypto market can be a catalyst for another crypto boom. Altcoins on the rise. Particularly encouraging for crypto enthusiasts is the fact that the price increase isn't limited to Bitcoin. The altcoin market also seems to be experiencing a significant boom as well. Apart from the major coins like Ethereum, Litecoin, and Ripple, some ERC-20 tokens have also gone up too. Aion, Zilliqa, Icon, and Xerox, or 0x, are among some of the biggest gainers. It shows that investors are getting comfortable enough to put up equity in the smaller coins. On the whole, it makes for a healthier and diverse crypto market. And that was all for this article. Like I said, it was a pretty short one. But I think this is a pretty bullish signal, and I've been thinking for quite some time that it wasn't going to be until after the tax period was over that we saw any kind of consolidation or turnaround in the market, or the end of the consolidation, I guess you could say. But everything right now looks to me like very bullish. I know a lot of people overly focus on charts, and because of that, many, many people were comparing this crash to the 2014 crash, which saw like a 240-day, or I guess, God, how long was it? Because it really wasn't until the end of 2015 that it started taking up again. But we saw it really extended bear market. It was pushing into a full year of downward and flat trends. So a lot of people want to compare it to that time period. But I think what they're missing, and what I've commented in multiple Twitter posts and, you know, other places, is that fundamentally none of the things that caused the 2014 bear market are present today. What we saw then was, first, this was the first big bubble in late 2013, early 2014, where Bitcoin went mainstream. Like, you saw it on the news, and it was huge, huge event back then. You know, when CNBC says something about Bitcoin, and Bitcoin was not on the sphere of existence before then, that was massive. Everybody was like, this is it. It's happening. Holy crap. And so it was the first foray into the mainstream mentality, and then it immediately popped after this. A huge, disastrous pop. So as far as the mainstream was concerned, the game was up. Like, there was nothing left. Bitcoin did its thing. The bubble popped. Now we're done. So mainstream sentiment was not even interested in it anymore. It was gone from the mainstream sphere for quite a while. In addition, the vast majority of the market liquidity, Mt. Gox was so much of the market, was so dominant in the markets, there was practically nowhere else to get Bitcoin at the time. And it was only in the last half of 2013 that other places, other markets started to pop up. And a lot of these were in China and had fake liquidity. There was a bunch of fake volume being posted, or at least evidence to suggest it. I'm not even 100% sure if any of it was ever proven. It just looked that way. So they saw that crash saw a significant decline in the actual access to the market. The liquidity, the cut to liquidity was just unbelievably painful. And it took a full year to get infrastructure back up, essentially to fill in the gap left by Mt. Gox. None of those situations have occurred this time. This crash has been practically the opposite of both of those situations. The mainstream does not think the gig is up. In fact, the mainstream is more interested now than they were during the boom as far as institutional investors getting ETFs prepped, hedge funds getting involved, CNBC adding ongoing price tickers for a handful of the dominant cryptocurrencies and talking about them practically on the daily. I've even personally spoke with so many people on the topic. I bring it up all the time. Who knew? And I've spoken with lawyers, a number of people in finance, all that not insignificant people as far as influence in my local area. And despite it being a bear market, none of them are dismissing it. Everybody is pretty much looking at this thing as something that's going to heavily encroach into their industry, and they're trying to figure out how to take advantage of it. So with a 70% price correction, when that's what the people in those industries are thinking, I just don't see any way that there's going to be a sustained bear market from that, because there's no mentality that says I should be avoiding Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies. It's how are these things going to cause me a problem in the future, and how do we prepare for that future today? So I think this was a short article. It just talks about the South Korean premium, but I think that's a big indicator, as well as all these other pieces, that we could possibly be back in a bull market. And I don't see the 2014 scenario playing out. I think it's far more likely that we're going to see 2013 play out, actually. That's at least my thinking. I guess we will find out in the coming months, and I will stay on top of it and keep reading articles. I'll try to hit one about the price movement. The price is never really my main focus, even though it's interesting and it's a whole lot of fun. I don't want to hit it too often because I'm much more interested personally in the technology and the development that goes on. But I will definitely hit this from time to time, just to kind of keep up to date on kind of the big pieces and macro movements of Bitcoin and the economy at large. So with that, we'll conclude this crypto economy quick read. Again, that was on unblock.net. And even though I cannot quite say the author's name, Prieshu, hope that's right, who knows, I will try to find them and tag them on Twitter. But be sure to check out unblock.net. They do have a number of cool things. I've stumbled upon them a number of times, and this was the one that addressed the South Korean premium, which I thought was important. So with that, don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Medium at The Crypto Economy. And of course, share this post and subscribe on iTunes, all that wonderful stuff. And I'll catch you guys next time on the Crypto Economy Podcast. Take it easy.